Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
How do you find and book musical guests? How do you leverage your podcast's influence in order to monetize in other areas? Hello and welcome to Podcast Creators, podcasting advice from real podcasters. Today on the show, we have Mitchell Ray, host of Real Music Nashville, and Mitchell goes into these topics and so much more. This interview was recorded using Welder, so if you like the way this looks and sounds, we'll put an affiliate link down in the description box below. We'll also put all relevant links to everything we talk about and everybody's show in the description box below, so if you want to check any of those out, it's really easy to do. All right, let's get on to it. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show Mitchell Ray, host of Real Music Nashville. What's going on, man?
Not much, man. Just getting over that audio debacle we just had.
Oh, my gosh. You know, now I'm going to have to cut this out because I was trying to hide our deficiencies from the audience.
No, no, man. That's what podcasting's about. It's about the deficiencies. People want to hear the mistakes.
Hopefully through this interview, we talk about some of those mistakes and really how to get through them, because I can imagine most podcasters are not to the level or haven't gone through the things that you've gone through. And that's what we're trying to kind of learn today. I'm going to ease you in with softballs for a couple, couple minutes.
All right.
And then we're going to get into it. But maybe first, just tell us about Real Music Nashville. Like, what is it? What's it about?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Real Music Nashville started out as a podcast specific to Nashville about the artists that live and work in Nashville. So the working artists that are actually filling out the venues. And even if you're a small artist, you know, big, small, everyone in between, that's who I like to find and talk to. And it started out that way. And then through meeting these different people, I've just had different opportunities arise, and the platform has grown from just a podcast to, we do live streams, we produce live podcasts, and we also book events as well. Our first, event that we've booked is at the Basement September 1st around a great, very talented group of, female guitarists. And, it's going to be a great time.
That's amazing. So the podcast came first and opened these doors. Is that what happened?
Yeah, it did. So, I'm a lifelong musician but I've been doing construction for like the last 10 years, and that's sort of soul sucking, you know, especially for a creative type. And so I was just trying to jump back into some, if I can't be a musician, how can I be a part of the music scene here in Nashville? I mean, I've grown up here. I've grown up with it. So I just wanted to be a part of it in some way. So I started the podcast and, honestly just started reaching out through DMs and like sort of cold calling people, and you'd be really surprised who actually responds, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're talking based on something very similar.
Yeah. Reddit.
Yeah. So before we kind of dive into more of the podcast, maybe we can start with a Sound Like Mitchell segment, which I think is always kind of funny, because whenever you look through Reddit threads, people are always like showing pictures of microphones and other podcasters that they admire going, what is this? Like, how do I sound like them?
Right.
So tell us, how do we sound like Mitchell?
Well, first you buy a whole bunch of stuff off Amazon that you can't really afford.
Yes. The Prime Visa, man.
Right.
The Prime Visa.
It's actually not that crazy of a setup if I just wanted to show you the stuff that I use for podcasting, because then all you really need is an interface and a microphone And it's really setting up all the social media and the website and the RSS feed and mm-hmm. and building an audience. That's the hard part. I can show you how to right. I can show you how to record a decent sounding podcast in no time. But here, I'm going to switch over, and you can just sort of see my setup here is I run off of
Extreme.
Well, so I had to upgrade a whole bunch because we started doing live streams, and I needed more inputs and everything because we're miking live bands. And so I got a couple of Focusrite Claret 8 Pre's and linked those together so I can get 16 channels. And so for podcasting, a big issue was the microphone. So there, Joe Rogan is the standard. Everyone wants that microphone. I forget the name of it. But it's like $400. Let's say you have four people in the room for a podcast. And so if you're interviewing a band, you could have six people, you know, who knows? Those microphones are just not affordable. So I looked into SM58s, which is the most, the standard for live performing. And I bought like four or five of those. And then I bought a preamp, which is a Cloud Lifter, is the one I chose. Yep. And you can make up for that loss in gain that you would have with a more expensive microphone, you know, or if you were going to use like a condenser instead of a directional microphone. And so that's sort of how I saved money on that and being able to have as many people in the room as I, you know, want, because I definitely couldn't afford six $400 microphones.
Yeah. But, you know, the question is do you really even need $400 microphones? Because you sound great. The SM58 is like, it's a, like you said, it's a standard.
Yeah, it's a standard. And all you got to, I mean, I just threw a pop filter on it and it sounds pretty decent. I don't, you know, I've looked at tons of YouTube videos comparing, and maybe I should even make one. I'll just rent one of the microphones and see what the difference is. But when I'm listening to a podcast and I'm listening to the product that I'm putting out, it's hard for me to really tell a difference that should cost an extra $300.
Yeah. And does it really make a difference to somebody listening in their car or while they're jogging or whatever it is they're doing? You know, people listen to podcasts when they're active.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, it's not an audiophile experience, but you want to make sure your audio is clear and understandable and, you know, at least professional.
Absolutely. So like what I would tell a podcaster that is trying to get into the game, all you really need is like a cheap Focusrite two channel, interface and get you an SM58 and maybe wait until see how invested you are in it. Then get a little preamp. You can buy the single Cloudlifter preamps and that'll boost your gain up and, you know, run your audio through, I don't want to necessarily encourage people stealing, but run your, you can definitely BitTorrent Isotope. Not that I did that. Maybe I did that, but, and you can run your audio through, and get rid of your plosives and your de-esser.
Yeah.
And once you've done that, I mean, you sound pretty professional.
Yeah. And you just keep your eye open for specials because there's all sorts of really handy tools that, kind of come out that, you know, might be $5 or $10 or there's more and more free ones that I see people building websites for that you can upload your audio to and it kind of cleans it up. And
yeah,
you know, there's hosting sites that are doing it now. What do you use for your host?
Podbean is what I use for my RSS feed.
Oh, great. And you're happy with that?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't do a lot of shopping around, to be honest. Because when I started this, I didn't even think it was going to, I didn't know if I was going to keep doing it, you know? So I think Podbean, I think Podbean was like $10 a month or something. And, so I just stuck with them and I've been pretty happy with it. So if you don't want to buy a website and build it or build one yourself with Squarespace or something, Podbean has a little section where it's like a mini website and it's all connected. And, it's a pretty nice streamlined service, I think. But yeah, Podbean is what I use.
Yeah, great. I think a lot of people use Podbean. They're one of the biggest. I don't know if they are the biggest, but they're definitely one of the biggest. So when you built this podcast, you didn't know for sure if you were going to stick with it. But I looked back at your first episode. So one thing I don't want to interrupt myself because that's my annoying habit, but I went back to look at your episodes and your first episode was November 1st of 2020. I listened to that and it's good. Like it's as good, I think, as your current stuff.
Well, thank you, man. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
I think I've improved as a host because I've said this on my podcast before, but like social anxiety has always been a thing for me. So my initial like reaction to talking to someone is to escape the conversation as fast as possible. And and podcasting has really alleviated that for me. Like just having experience, I think I'm a little over 20 episodes now with 5 in the bank. So being forced and locked into a conversation, I think, has really helped out a lot.
Yeah. So your first episode was the Weird Sisters, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And that had to be an ordeal because there's lots of them. I mean, it wasn't just you. How did that whole thing go? Explain how that happened.
Yeah. So like I said, I just started cold calling people on Instagram, you know, sliding into people's DMs and seeing who would respond. And, you know, I started checking out people's music and I was like, the Weird Sisters are fucking awesome, which they, you know, they still are. And they actually just made a return. They were my first repeat guests, which was pretty cool. But so I got them to come in and the studio looked completely different than it does now. It was just us four sitting in a circle with, you know, mic stands and stuff. And I don't know if you can see in the back, but I actually have a proper little setup now.
Yeah, it looks great. You got lights.
Oh, yeah.
You got some distance between the camera.
Yeah. Like, and there,
that took some doing.
You know, there's a table with actual arms like what you have that you're using there, which is neato and everything. But yeah, that first episode was, I was riddled with anxiety because I'm trapped in a conversation with four people that I have to lead. And so I have show notes that I make, but I try to keep it loose, you know?
Yeah. And so like an outline.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like a little outline sitting in front of you just in case you run into something where there's dead air, which you never want. Then you have talking points. So I'll make a rough outline, but the thing I've learned the most is to listen to the person that's talking to you and bounce off of what they're actually saying and then go to the notes if you need to. And so that's, I think that's something I've learned the most since that first podcast.
So do you do any editing or what happens after the podcast is recorded? Like walk us through the steps.
So podcasting to me as the podcast that I listen to, the thing I love most about it is the roughness, the rawness of it, the genuineness of it. So I try not to edit as much as possible, but you have to. So, I mean, there are some sometimes dead areas or maybe you have to go in and clean up your own audio. It's all, you know, that's the type of thing you do as a podcaster. Maybe get some mouth noises out of there. If someone's breathing into a microphone while everyone else is talking, mute that, you know, and then bring it back. So it's a process, you know. You got to add the intro, the outro. There's background music for your intro. And then you got to worry about licensing for that music. So luckily I have been playing music forever. So I just had tracks that I own. So it's not a big deal, but that's a huge deal for other podcasters. Podcasting can be a steep slope to climb, man. If you have no experience and no background at all, especially like if you're getting into this with no audio background, no video background, no lighting background, and no conversation skills, you're in for a rough road, you know?
Yeah. So let's talk about music licensing. I have this in my show notes outline, but I didn't know if I wanted to tackle it, but I'm going to jump in since you brought it up. You play little clips from these musicians at the beginning. And sometimes it just depends on where, but mostly in your, you know, after you do your intro, you play their clip and then you kind of get into it. How does that work with the musicians? Is it just that you're playing kind of indie musicians and they haven't licensed that content to any distribution centers or how does that work?
I get flagged all the time is how that works. So on YouTube, I can't upload anything there and ever hope to monetize it. There's a process. I looked into it very briefly, but But yeah, there's a process where you can submit to YouTube, like basically a sync license. And for those that don't know, a sync license is basically a contract between you and the artist giving you permission to play their song on your platform and to monetize it. And so that's something I've looked into. I've thought about approaching a lawyer and getting the and just a boilerplate sync license for the artists that I'm bringing in to sign, saying, hey, I can put this on YouTube and make a little bit of money for myself. Because even though this is a fun thing to do, it's a lot of work. This is almost a second job. I'd say it is a second job.
It's easily a second job. Have you ever thought maybe just to cut the music out of your YouTube, like the podcast version of your YouTube channel?
I have thought about that, and I don't want to. that's about it. I mean, that's, you know, I want the whole point is I want people to listen to these people's music that I'm bringing on the show because I believe in them. You know, I don't have anyone on who the music I don't actually enjoy. You know.
Yeah. I always thought it was interesting when Spotify got in the podcasting game, then bought Anchor, and now is kicking off this collaboration between the two where you can actually play any music on your podcast and it'll get licensed through Spotify.
Interesting.
It doesn't fix your YouTube problem, mm-hmm. and it actually kind of breaks the whole spirit of podcasting where it's open and RSS, and this would only be on Spotify.
Yeah.
But I can see music-related podcasts finding that pretty interesting because, you know, they want to play the tracks. And, you know, it's just a matter of time, I think, before Apple and Spotify and those folks run the same algorithms as YouTube to try to define this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. I hadn't heard that. And, you know, hopefully YouTube adopts that because I would love to, you know, make a little money. I mean, that's why I started getting into, because it became very apparent quickly that the amount of work I was putting into this was not going to, I was not going to receive an equal monetary benefit on the other end. So then that's why I started expanding into live streaming and putting on live productions. And, and you know, I want to keep doing that. I want to, you know, I want to put on a festival. I want to grow this as big as I can grow it. And I want to make the artists money and I want to make myself money along the way, you know.
Yeah.
And everyone says that, you know, it can't be about the money. You have to love it and enjoy it. Well, if you can't, it has to be about the money at a certain point because I don't want to do construction forever, you know? So, so I have to supplement the income, and especially from, as expensive as the equipment can be, you have to find a way to make money or you're just going to be doing this for fun. And that's all great. You know, some people do that, but that's not my ultimate goal. My ultimate goal is to be able to sustain myself off of this.
Yeah. It's hard to understand how somebody can think both things, in my opinion. Like one is, I do it for fun, but yet I want other people to listen to it. If you do it for fun, right, there's really no reason to record it. You're just hanging out with some buddies, you know, having a good time. Like when you press record, to me, you're saying, I want other people to listen to this. Whether or not I make money on it, building the audience is the same thing. Like you either decide to monetize that audience or not later, but building the audience is still building the audience.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what do you think you spend time-wise weekly on the podcast? Like if you could sum it up, you think?
It's bi-weekly. So I put the podcast out every other Monday. And so the podcast is usually about an hour long. So that means I got to sit there and listen to it for an hour. And then I have to earmark everything that I want to change. And so then after you've listened to it, then you got to go back through and edit. So I mean, and then you got to add in the intro and you have to, you know, record that intro and put in the music, make everything fade correctly, master it correctly so that everything's not like a million different volumes. But I mean, that's a long answer to a short question, but, you know, per episode, it's easily, you know, 3 or 4 hours, I would say.
So let's dig deeper on that, because I think you're missing a zero.
Oh yeah.
Right. Yeah. How much time do you spend DMing folks, trying to find guests, promoting it on social media, talking to me in Reddit?
Yeah, I guess I was thinking of just the editing aspect, but yeah, like we said earlier, podcasting is another job, because it's not just the podcast. It's, everything you just said. And then you have to keep your website up to date. You have to interact with people on social media, or they'll forget you in an instant.
Yep.
And it becomes all consuming, really. I would say 24/7, if you're going to say it, like, if you're going to include social media and the internet and everything. And that's just from a podcaster's point of view. Now, if you're trying to put on live streams with people, you're trying to produce other people's podcasts, because if you have a space that you can do that with, then you can monetize that space. So yeah, if I'm producing other people's podcasts, producing live streams, and also trying to put on live productions, it's become such an overwhelming experience that burnout is very, very easy, to approach, you know?
Yeah. How are you preventing burnout?
It's, I don't know, man, because I think I'm preventing burnout is definitely already happening. But I just know that if I stop, then I have no more creative outlet. It's back to just construction, and there's no hope and no escape. So there's no hope and no escape from the day job if I stop. So that means I have to be willing to do more than anyone else and keep going. And it's the people that keep going that actually succeed. If you just stop and just be like, well, this is my lot in life. And that's a mentality, I guess. I don't really know, but I mean, that's how I prevent burnout on myself. It's just, you know, if you stop, well, then that's it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you've taken time to build up to what you have. If you stop, all that progress is gone. Like, it just, your podcast will go away in a second. It doesn't, even though, you know, if you keep paying your hosting or whatever, you can keep it online. Without activity, people are just going to move away. I mean, they're just not going to continue to listen to the same episodes over and over and over. So you have to keep going. Like, there's no choice but to keep going. What's your strategy? So I'm hearing these little nuggets float by, right? You're like, okay, I got the live streaming going on. I'm doing other people's podcast production. Give me the grand plan for escaping the 9-to-5.
I don't think podcasting is going to be it. I think podcasting is the core. I think it's the center of the platform, and it'll always be there. It'll never go away, but it'll never be the main source of income. So for me personally, it's building out into putting on live productions, live streams, hosting podcasts, maybe creating a network. That's, I think the seed is the podcast, and everything that grows around it will be the escape plan for me.
I think that makes sense. As far as your social media, output, where do you spend the majority of your social media time?
Oh, Instagram for sure, which is confusing to me to see people on there with like 5 pictures and they have 5,000 followers. And I've been at this for almost a year now, plus 4 months of prep time, you know, trying to figure out what I was doing. And I have like 300 followers on Instagram, which is, so I'm doing something wrong, I guess, or the content's not good. I don't really know, but it's discouraging to see that audience not come in when you've put so much time and effort into something. But the audience I do have, I have a personal relationship with all of these people, and they are the network of musicians in Nashville that are doing, they are pursuing music as a career. That's what they're doing 100% of the time. And so I may not have a huge following, but I have a very tight network of people that, you know, if I wanted to have them on again, or if I want to book them for a show, I can easily contact them, and there's a personal relationship there, which that's one thing the podcast has done for me, is created personal relationships with people in the music, in the Nashville music scene. And that's how I've been able to move into live production and find people that want to use my space to produce their own podcast, or I produce it for them, but you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So Instagram's where I spend the most time, and then Facebook, I get the most likes and views over there, but it doesn't seem to translate anywhere else. Same thing with Instagram though. It all sort of stays in those little spheres. And if I want to try and build up the YouTube page, which I am trying to do, I can advertise all I want over there for a live stream on YouTube, and the people that come over, it's like, I can see how many people are seeing the post, and it's not even a fraction of how many people actually go and make the jump to YouTube to see the live stream. So that's something I'm struggling with as well.
One thing I've found, and I'm not an expert in this by any stretch of the imagination, but what I've kind of learned is that each channel for social media is really its own audience. And the content that you build is really just for them. So like, I've had zero success really trying to get an Instagram following to go do something on some other platform, no matter what it is.
Right.
Equally so, getting my podcast listeners, and I've got some really big podcasts, getting my podcast listeners to even follow me on Twitter is like a mountain to climb. What happens is when I build content just for the platform, and I'm doing this right now on TikTok on one of my shows, I build it just for TikTok. I don't ask them to do anything. I just say, consume this content that I make about, you know, superheroes or whatever. And all of a sudden my TikTok is growing like crazy. I just completely ignored, follow my podcast, go check me out here, listen to this interview. So my understanding of social media is truly evolving. It's not like it was a decade ago where you could post links and people would follow them.
That's interesting. Did that work on YouTube? Because unlike YouTube is unlike TikTok or Instagram or Facebook, where they sort of, the social media aspect is not built into YouTube, you know, so you don't have a way to really directly interact with the audience. You can put content out there for them to consume, but the reason I focus so much on, or the reason I'm talking so much about YouTube, I guess, is because it seems like the best way to monetize anything you're putting out as a podcaster.
YouTube has a lot of benefits. Its monetization platform is excellent. It does a nice job of promoting you when you kind of hit the algorithm just right. So it'll show up on people's discover pages. It'll come up at the end of their videos. What we've done on YouTube, and again, you know, whether it's right or wrong, is we tried uploading our podcast content. You know, we have studio, we have cameras, we spent a lot of time making 1 hour long videos, and no one watched them, right? Like we would get 3 minutes of views and people would be like, no, I'm not going to watch people just sit here and talk. So what we found is that we build a segment into our show specifically for YouTube. It's on the podcast also, but it's primarily designed to do YouTube, and it's YouTube style content, like top tens or top fives or who's better than this or that, like things we can display and show and generate conversations with. And that's helped significantly. It changed the game. It changed the content we put up there. And it kind of goes back to that same social media thing where you have to build the content for the platform.
Yeah.
Like repurposing content is a myth. You can repurpose parts, but you always get the best result when you build it for the space you're trying to share it to.
That's
at least that's what I found.
That's interesting. That makes sense. But then that's, you know, like we were saying earlier, that's it's already a second job, and now you're talking about building content for each individual platform. I mean, that's wild. How does anyone have time for that?
You don't. and that's why most people focus on a single social media. And that's why I asked the question.
Oh, okay.
Because people try to master one, right? Like, you look at even gigantic podcasts and they'll have 300 Twitter followers, but they'll have 1.2 million Instagram followers.
Yeah.
Because they've just committed to that.
Yeah. I don't even have, well, I have a Twitter, but I don't even get on there, man. I couldn't even tell you how many people follow me. I don't use it at all.
Twitter is a different beast. Like, Twitter, I don't know how you make content for Twitter.
I think you're just being annoying.
Yeah. So I'm pretty good at that, which is why I spend most of my time on Twitter.
Sorry. Right, well, sorry to all you Twitter users out there. I was just joking.
Oh man. You can find Mitchell on Reddit. So that, if that tells you anything, just kidding. Just kidding. You find me too there, son of a gun. Maybe we can try to capture a couple of actionable points that you've lived and learned that a new podcaster or a podcaster that doesn't have a full year under their belt might have not seen or heard yet.
Yeah. If you're just starting out, man, like, don't focus so much on perfection. That sounds counterintuitive, but like, I would have never released my first episode because I was so hell bent on it being perfect audio quality, because I have a background as a sound engineer, a background in the audio world. So I was so hell bent on making it super perfect and trying to add gates to make everything so perfect. And if my wife hadn't been like, look, just release something, I would have never started, you know? So don't trip over yourself, you know, releasing that first bit of content. Just get started, and you're going to learn these things along the way as you keep improving. You're going to learn. I've learned so much in this short amount of time I've been doing it.
That's amazing. What is one thing that you want to know that you haven't cracked the code on? If you could ask the world, the internet, YouTube, what's one question you would ask the community?
Man, a lot of marketing questions, like how better to market myself, because either the content's bad or I'm not tapping into an algorithm somewhere. And the conversation that we just had, about making specific content for specific platforms, you know, that helped a lot. So just, it would be a lot of little questions, really, not just one big one.
Yeah.
Be a whole bunch of marketing questions, SEO questions.
Well, I commit to you that I will find the people that know this and I will ask them on this interview, and we'll figure it out.
Yeah, please do.
Because I like to know too.
Yeah.
We're going to crack the code.
Yeah. I mean, you can spend all this time and money on a product, but if you don't know how to market it, no one will ever find it because there's too many people doing it already.
Yeah, that is so true. So tell people how to find you. Give us the details.
Yeah, man. Realmusicnashville.com is the website. On Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Real Music Nashville across the board. I think Twitter might be Real Music Nash. I don't know. But yeah, you can find me there. And on Instagram, I have a link tree that links to everything that we're doing right now. And we have our first show coming up September 1st. And if you're in the Nashville area, go to my link tree. You can find tickets there for that. And we're hosting another one in November. And just, yeah, check out my content, and you'll see, as we do more live streams and live events, you'll see us post them, and follow the links, please.
Mitchell Ray, host of Real Music Nashville. Amazing, amazing. And I just want to point out one thing that I learned that I didn't know is that Nashville is not just country music.
Yeah. That's the point of the show.
any music that you think you're into, you will find on Real Music Nashville. I poked around. You heard it at the beginning of this interview, but you're hearing it at the end too. no matter what you're into, you're going to find it on Real Music Nashville. And I appreciate you being on the show, man. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, man. Thanks so much for having me. And hopefully this builds into a network of podcasters, you know?
We're going to try to build a knowledge base to help everyone. That's the goal.
That's awesome, man. Yeah.
All right. See you later.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much to Mitchell Ray from Real Music Nashville for coming on the show and teaching us all about what it's like to run a music podcast and how to monetize it and turn it into things like live events and bookings. It was a lot of fun. I learned a lot. Hopefully you also learned a lot. If you're an independent podcaster, you should check out indiedropin.com/creators. We have lots of opportunities for your podcast to be featured on one of Indie Drop-In shows, which will get more ears on your podcast, which is always a great thing. If you like this show and you like learning about podcasting, hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any of our future episodes. Of course, we'll put all the links to everything we talked about in the show notes below. Thanks again for listening to Podcast Creators, and we'll see you on the next one. Bye-bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.